In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation, through the same Christ our Lord. Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father and Terry,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius Loyola,
pray for us.
Saint Maria Goretti,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. Before entering into our worksheets, I'd like you just maybe just pay attention for about a few minutes. I'm going to be starting with something a little bit different, but something that's related to this topic. And it's this. Every Thursday, I have a radio program for the past, I'd say about eight, nine years, my own program for about 5 years. And I choose the topic. And yesterday, I chose the topic of what is called the universal call to holiness. Now, what does that mean? It means this, that all of us are called to become saints. And I quoted some biblical verses. One was from Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, "Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy." If you know grammar well, be, the infinitive is to be. And do you know your grammar well, be holy would be not the imperfect or conditional or the subjunctive, but it's called the imperative. Maybe you've heard that if you study grammar, the way we used to study grammar. Imperative means that it's an obligation, we have to do it. So all of us are called to become holy. And the proof is, if I were to ask you how many of you want to go to heaven, all your hands are going to go up. How many of you want to become great saints? Probably not too many. But to get to heaven, you have to become a saint. Right? Because you've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you've got Mary, the angels, and the saints. So for us to make it to heaven, we have to become saints. Now, not all saints are canonized. That doesn't mean shot out of the canon into heaven, okay? Canonized means that they're officially proclaimed by the Holy Father to be in heaven. So they're in the canon of the Mass, which would be the official prayer that we say in the Mass. Most saints are anonymous. Anonymous means not known. But yesterday would have been my father's birthday. My father died about 8 months ago. My father was born on July 6th, 1928. But also on this day, 1902, when my grandmother was only 4 years old, my grandmother was a little baby, 1902, my grandmother lived in three centuries, no? It's hard to believe that someone could live in three centuries, right? That's impossible, isn't it, living in three centuries? 1898, 1902, so she lived to be 104 years old, no? So this saint that we celebrated yesterday was a saint that died when my grandmother was only 4 years old. And the name of the saint that we celebrated yesterday, maybe you've heard of it, there's a parish in Lakewood not too far away, Saint Maria Goretti. Have any of you ever heard of Saint Maria Goretti? You have. Okay, now, a woman who just had her son ordained a priest about 2 weeks ago lent me a very special gift. Look at this. I mean, it's pretty small, you probably can't see it. Any of you know what this might be? It's a relic. Do any of you know what a relic is? Do you know the difference between a first class, a second class, and a third class relic would be? John, what would be a third class relic?
Okay.
How about the second class relic? Or even something that the saint would wear, right? How about a first class relic? Daniel? Usually it's a part of the bone. So I have here a first class relic of Saint Maria Goretti. So this was part of her body. Little part of her bone. So I thought that the woman lent this to me. I thought I would show this to you and tell you a short summary of the life of this girl. Because this girl she was younger than almost all of you when she died. She was born into a very poor family. Her parents moved to a town called Neptuno, which was outside the city of Rome. When she was very small, her father died. And her mother worked in the marshes where there was a lot of sicknesses, a lot of mosquitoes. So you probably heard of malaria. Malaria was a very, very dangerous disease that was spreading far and wide. So her father died when she was young. So the mother with Maria, they had to work very hard. And they work out in the fields, the mother. And Maria Goretti had younger siblings. And she was a good girl. She was a happy girl, hardworking. Brothers and sisters really liked her. The mom was really appreciative of her hard work. And what happened was they ended up by living in the same building with a father and his teenage son. And they would work together with the Maria Goretti's family. And they got along pretty well. And there was a boy who was about 18 years old. His name was Alessandro, which is Italian for Alex, Alexander, that was like an older brother to Maria Goretti. But something happened that changed their relationship. This is about 115 years ago. He got a hold of bad magazines. And he started to look at bad magazines. Today we call it pornography. So he started to look at these bad magazines, and his relationship with this girl changed. Instead of looking at her as a little sister, he looked at her with a lot of lust or bad desires. So she'd be alone at times in the house, and he would come up and make these impure advances toward her. And every time that he came, she would reject him. But she was fearful because she was small, and he was taller, and he was from the field, so he was very strong. So he kept going after her. And when she was 11 years old, she made her first communion. Now back 100 years ago, before St. Pope Pius X, the first communion would be received later on, sometimes when you're actually a teenager. So she had to walk a long distance to go to catechism to make her first communion. So she received her first communion, would go to Mass on Sunday, she would say her prayer, she was very prayerful. But this guy, Alessandro, was looking at her with bad desires. Until July 5th, 1902, Maria Goretti was in the building where her parents lived. Mom lived, dad already passed away. The second floor, watching over her little siblings. And Alessandra rushed in, kind of like a mad animal. And he saw her and tried to force her in the room. And she rejected. And he tried to drag her, and she tried to get free. But she couldn't because he was much stronger. So basically, he wanted to rape her. It was that. And when this was happening, when he was trying to violate the innocence of this 11-year-old girl, she looked like she was about 15 or 16. She was very well developed and looked older than she actually was. She said this, "That's a mortal sin. We can't do that. Because a mortal sin, a mortal sin is you lose God's grace." She said, "It's a mortal sin. We can't do that." And she said to him, "If you do that, you could go to hell." So that was what she learned in her catechism. Mortal sin is bad. We die in mortal sin, we'll go to hell. He became furious. And what he did was he took out what was called Spanish, pica hielo, maybe you heard of that in Spanish, which would be in English, I think it's translated as an ice pick. You ever seen ice pick, the way they try to chop huge blocks of ice? No? Which is really, what it was really was, is a knife. And he basically said to her, "If you don't give in to me, I'm going to stab you." So she didn't give in, and he stabbed her once, twice, three times, five times, 11 times. And what was interesting, none of these stab wounds were fatal to the point that she would die. But then she turned over, and he stabbed her three more times. This time, it punctured her lung. All of you know what the lungs do, right? So the lung was punctured. And then he left her, and she was crying out, and the mother came in and said, "Maria, what happened? Who did this?" And she said, "Alessandro came in and he wanted to do something very bad with me, and I said no. And he was the one that stabbed me." So she was there but another 2 or 3 hours, and then they rushed her in horse and buggy. Imagine that. This is a day in which they didn't have cars, or cars were just being invented. They rushed her to a hospital in Neptuno. And when she was in the hospital, the doctors looked at her and noticed that they had to do an operation. So they did an operation on her without anesthesia. Do you know what anesthesia is? Anesthesia would be like you put, well, the doctor puts you to sleep. So imagine a doctor operating on you, cutting open your stomach without you being put to sleep. You hear that, you faint just thinking about it. And she accepted this because of the will of God. And what she did was, she loved Mary very much. She had the miraculous medal that she held in her hand, like she was holding the hand of Mary. She's grabbing onto the miraculous medal and calling out to the Blessed Mother to help her to be strong. She's only 11 years old. What strength, huh? So there she is. Mother's there, a couple of nuns, and a priest comes in. And the priest gave her the anointing of the sick. And the priest gave her viaticum, which would be her last Holy Communion. But the priest did this. Maria, do you forgive this young man that stabbed you? What would you say? She said, I've already forgiven him, and I want him to be with me in heaven for all eternity. 11 years old. I've already forgiven him. I want to be with him in heaven. So she went through the operation. She lost a lot of blood. She wanted to drink, but in that circumstance with her operation, she couldn't drink a drop of water. Try to imagine you walking in the heat 12 hours and you don't drink any water. And then when you want to drink water, you can't drink a drop of water. Not that easy. All because of love. Love for Jesus and Mary. She recognized that Jesus and Mary loved her and she loved them back. And that's why we're here. We're here because you have to recognize that Jesus and Mary love you very much. You hear me? Jesus and Mary love you very much. Your parents love you. You get angry at them at times. But you know your parents love you. Jesus and Mary love you a million times more than that. They do, always. Now the story's not over. There she is in agony for 24 hours. Until finally, she dies. 11 years old. Maintaining what is called her virginity. She's called a virgin martyr. Virgin martyr means that she maintained her purity. Martyr means that she shed her blood. What Jesus did on the cross was he shed his blood. And some of his best friends, Jesus asked them, are you willing to shed your blood for me? And they say yes. Then Jesus gives them the strength. I was listening to Immaculate Heart Radio this morning with Patrick Madrid. He was talking about the Protestant Reformation. He's talking about, some of you probably have studied history in school, maybe heard of the Protestant Reformation, the Catholic Counter-Reform. They're talking what happened where my ancestors come from, England. Thomas More. Maybe heard of Thomas More. They cut his head off. Maybe heard of Edmund Cambion. Okay. Edmund Cambion was a Jesuit priest. And how the English would do is they would hang them, then draw and quarter them. Draw and quarter means that they would cut open their insides while they were still living. And this man was hanging, and there was a Protestant underneath him, and a drop of his blood fell on that Protestant. He was converted, became a Catholic, went back to France, and he came back to England, and he was martyred. The blood of Edmund Cambion. The blood of Edmund Cambion. Saint Edmund Cambion. Okay, so what happened to this guy? This guy, Alessandro Serinelli. Where did this guy end up? Ends up in jail. First degree murder. Almost the sentence that will last his whole life. So when he was there for many years, he was angry, bitter. Said that this girl was a dummy. If she just gave in to me, she'd still be living. She was really an idiot. She thought that Maria Guerra, what she'd done was the stupidest thing in the world because now she'd still be living. So he was angry for many, many years till something happened. God sent Maria Guerra to his prison cell. He saw her in a vision. Now, the way he saw her was much different than the way he saw her when she was alive. Whenever he saw her alive, she was filled with fear because she knew what his intentions were. This time, she was not in fear, but she was glowing. She was glowing like a flashlight. She was like a bright light. She was glowing. And she had 14 roses in her hands. I wonder why 14 roses. Anybody know why she had 14 beautiful roses? 14 times. And the rose is symbolic of purity. You know what she said to him? She said this, look, God has forgiven you. I have forgiven you. You have to ask for forgiveness. So that's one thing he didn't want to do. He was proud. A proud person doesn't want to admit that he's wrong. In Spanish, we call him a macho, typical macho. Macho never makes a mistake. Everyone else is wrong. The typical macho. He was a macho. An Italian macho, he was. God has forgiven you. I have forgiven you. You have to ask for forgiveness. And guess what happened? He asked the jailer if he could bring a priest into the prison, into his prison cell. Guess who came? The bishop of Nettuno came. Not only priest, but the bishop, the highest guy. The bishop sat down and heard his confession. From that moment on, he was radically transformed. He was no longer the angry, bitter, vindictive animal type, but he became almost like a gentle little lamb. He was kind to the other prisoners. He wanted to serve. He wanted to help out. He started to pray after many, many years. He was sorry for what he had done in killing this innocent girl. Radically, radically transformed. And because of good behavior, he was discharged from the prison years earlier. But he was there probably about 40 years, a long time. Now the end of the story is most interesting. He was discharged from jail December 24th. Christmas Eve. Now, where do you think he went, of all places? Maybe some of you saw the movie.
He went to Maria Goretti's mother.
Right, so he went to the house of Maria Goretti, whose mother's name was Assunta, and she worked there helping out the priest in the parish. And she knocked at the door, and he knocked at the door, and the mother opened up the door, and he said, do you recognize me? This is 40 years. People change in 40 years. And she said, yes. Who am I? You're Alessandro Serinelli. You're the boy that killed my daughter. Then he asked her, do you forgive me? She said, if God has forgiven you and my daughter has forgiven you, who am I not to forgive you? Yes, I do forgive you. So she invited him in to have a Christmas meal with her and her family. Shortly after that, there was the Christmas Eve Mass. And guess who received communion together? Alessandro Serinelli and the mother of the girl that he killed, Maria Goretti. 1950, there was a pope, his name was Pope Pius XII, who decided to canonize this girl. Here got the relic, to make her a saint. And normally the canonization would be done inside the Vatican. Any of you have ever gone to Rome? Outside the Vatican, the canonization had to be done because there are so many people, there's about 250,000 people. It was the biggest number of people in the history of the church to be canonized. Of course, today, with electronics media, the canonization of John Paul II, Mother Teresa, there's more. But we're talking about 1950, talking about many years ago. And the Pope canonized this girl as the patron saint of you people. She's your patron saint. She's the patron saint of young people and the patron saint of purity. So my conclusion is this. Maria Goretti is a model because she loved God. She loved Jesus and Mary. You know that she hated. You're allowed to hate? She hated one thing, sin. You can hate one thing. Hey, you can hate sin. Okay. Yep. That's one thing she hated. Because she hated what God hates, sin. And she recognized this, the importance of purity. Now all of you are baptized. So you are temples of God. You are temples of the Holy Spirit. You are temples of the Blessed Trinity. You have the two D's, dignity and destiny. Dignity, sons and daughters of God. Destiny, heaven. Your ultimate destiny is to be with Saint Maria Goretti. So we've arrived at the midpoint in our preparation for consecration to Mary. And I'll just tell you this, because you're young, is that one of the most powerful, pervasive temptations that all of you are going to have to confront is, I call it, the devil of impurity. You're all going to have to confront that. Temptations from within us, it's called the flesh, and temptations from outside of us, it's called the world. And temptations within our mind, that's called the devil. So you have three basic enemies. The devil is going to play mind games. Okay, all of you have mind games, and so do I, probably more than you. The devil plays mind games. And he puts sometimes really ugly thoughts up here. Our flesh rebels against our spirit. The flesh does not want to obey the spirit, St. Paul speaks about. There's an interior war. You ever play tug of war? You ever do a tug of war? You know, you want to do the good, but then you feel the evil within you. It's like a tug of war. It's strong. But if you have Jesus and Mary on your side, you're going to win the battle. And then the world. The world outside us is going to try to convince us that true happiness can be found right here. The world is going to say, eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Have fun. Have premarital sex. Maybe live with your boyfriend. Try this out. So the world is going to try to trick you into believing that happiness is here. True happiness can only be found in the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. Amen? True happiness can only be found in the heart of Jesus, in the heart of Mary. All people in the world want to be happy. Why do you have so many people that are sad today? Because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Did you ever hear the Baptist minister preached out against drinking? There's a Baptist minister in Alabama. There's a lot of drinking people, drunks in his congregation. He said, if I had all the beer in the world, I would throw it in the river. He said, if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd throw it in the river. If I had all the tequila in the world, I would throw it in the river. And he sat down, and the choir master got up and said, let us sing, let us go to the river joyfully. So true joy is not going to be found in that river. True joy is going to be found in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So, at the end of our conference today, I'm going to be blessing you with a relic of Saint Maria Goretti. So that all of you will be virgin martyrs in the sense that you will be pure and you'll be strong enough to fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can do it with the help of God, because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen? Okay, so let's go to our worksheet. Are you there? Got your pencil? Can anyone tell me, who is that man that has Jesus within his arms? Is that Saint Joseph? What? You going to say the same? Okay. That man is Simeon. Okay, now the presentation before filling it in is this. Jesus is born where? Bethlehem, which means house of bread. So when he's 40 days old, Mary and Joseph travel to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. Now there are many, many, many people waiting for Jesus. But the two that you're going to encounter in the Bible were elderly people. One's name was Simeon. Who was the other one? It was a woman.
Anne.
Anne, okay. So Anne was in her 80s, Simeon was up in years, and they're waiting for Jesus to be born. So Joseph and Mary come on the scene, and they see this little child, and the Holy Spirit enlightens this man, Simeon, to recognize that little baby in the arms of this humble couple, Mary and Joseph, he was the Savior of the world. So he goes to them and he says, now you can let your servant go in peace. My eyes have seen the salvation of the world, the light for all the people. Then he turns to Mary and says, this child is going to be a sign of contradiction. Look up at the cross. Sign of contradiction, that he was going to be a sign of contradiction on the cross. Then he turned to Mary. Any of you know the words that he said to Mary? And through your heart, a sword will pierce. And it was a huge crescent sword, not a dagger. Huge crescent sword. So that the thoughts of many will be revealed. So this man was making a prophecy of what was going to happen 33 years later when Jesus was going to be hanging on the cross. Who would be underneath the cross? Who's underneath the cross? Mary. Okay, so Jesus dies, and what happens shortly after he dies? You ever see a javelin thrower? What happened?
He was pierced by the side of blood and water flowing from his side.
Who's the name of the person that did it? Okay, Longinus, okay? So there was a soldier underneath the cross seeing Jesus to make sure he was dead, took his sword, and he thrust his sword and went right through the side of Jesus, and blood and water came gushing forth. You look at the Divine Mercy image there. You can see the pale white, and then you can see the red. That's what came forth. Blood and water. Water, which symbolizes baptism and confession, and blood symbolizes what other sacrament?
Martyrdom,
but also it symbolized the Eucharist, which is the body and blood of Christ, right? So there you have the biblical passage that you meditated upon last week, or you're going to be meditating upon this week, the presentation. So let's go into the worksheet and respond to the questions. Okay, it's Simeon and not Simon, okay? Some people say Simon, okay? Simeon had the privilege some background music there, huh? Simeon had the privilege of seeing Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen Jesus? You know, I see Jesus every day. I see him for a while. When might you be able to see Jesus even today? Okay, in what moment? You know the technical word, Daniel? Okay, say it a little bit louder. Okay, consecration. So every time... When is the moment of consecration? John, do you know? Moment of consecration? And what else?
When he lays his hands over him.
That invokes the Holy Spirit. The consecration elevates the host, but what else? Chalice, right? So it elevates the host and the chalice. So in that moment, you are looking at Jesus just the way Simeon looked at Jesus as a child. You're looking at Jesus in his sacramental presence. But that's really Jesus. We call that the real presence. Can you look at him in any other moment? I'll give you a hint. If you walk 50 steps, you open up the door of the church, who's there on the altar? He's in what? What is that called? It's called the monstrance. Monstrance. Any of you speak Spanish? Mostrar? Which means to show. That means he's showing himself publicly. So, Jesus is present today. He's present today just as he was 2,000 years ago in the sacraments. Okay. Simeon had the privilege of seeing Jesus and holding him. Holding him just good, just once, but you're right. Because he said, now you can let your servant go in peace. He's basically saying, now I'm ready to die because I've seen Jesus who I've been waiting for such a long time, and we can see him every day. Wow, what a privilege. We're more privileged than Simeon in that sense. Okay, next, number two. We have the privilege of seeing Jesus every time we visit the church. And I think the first little poem I learned, I was 6 years old, a very short poem that my mother taught me. I must have been six, maybe seven. This is the poem. Listening? Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit. So that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? Amen? Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit, so that when I die, the Lord will not say, let's see if you can repeat that poem. Whenever I see a church, the young people don't like poetry today, I know. The young people don't have memories either, huh? Ask your grandmother, what a memory your grandmother has. That old grandma of yours can, that act of contrition that takes about 5 minutes to say it. Maybe we can try again. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, okay, I give you about a D minus on that, but we can. Yeah. Most of you are D students, right? I hope not. Okay. Next. So Jesus, every time we visit the church and look to Jesus truly present in the, yeah, kind of, but you're hot, you're warm, but you're not hot. Okay, you're right, but we're looking for another word. I'll give you a hint. Look behind me on my right. Tabernacle. Okay. Tabernacle. Tabernacle. That's the tabernacle behind me right now. Beautiful tabernacle. This was actually given to the church by my mother about 20 years ago. Beautiful tabernacle. All the way from New Hampshire. From the La Salette Fathers, huh? Okay, in the tabernacle or in the monstrance, where he is solemnly manifested for our sins, yes, but also for our love. Let's check your catechism. Okay, the highest rank of angels in heaven, what are they called? Angels with an S.
Salvation.
Not salvation, close. Seraphim. Okay. So the seraphim, the cherubim are the highest. You know what they do? They don't work with us. The only thing they do, they're in heaven praising God. So love and adoration. So Jesus is waiting for us so that we can love Him and adore Him. Do any of you know a prayer of adoration? O sacrament most holy, O C minus. O sacrament most holy. Alabemos et demos gracias en cada sacramento. Okay, a few of you know it in Spanish, okay? So that's a prayer of adoration. We adore the Lord. Now, what is the corporal What is the corporal action you do to show adoration? Because we praise God by our words, but also by our body. Kneel, but what else? Kneeling is true, but what, when you come into the church, what's that called?
Reverence.
Not reverence. This is a reverence. Something even more important than reverence. What's that? Okay, genuflection. Okay, so this is the way you do the genuflection, right? It's this way, right? You know, like this, like a... What do I have to do? Okay, this is good enough, huh? Okay, this is the right way, okay, right? Why I hit. Oh, it has to be the right knee. Okay. Yeah, I don't have to do the sign of the cross. Okay, how about this? Okay. So you have to make sure when you come to church, you have to make a good genuflection. Are all of you abuelitos? Or bisabuelos? You're not viejitos, are you? Okay, you're all ancianos, right? No, you're young. You should be able to do that. So Mary teaches us to praise and adore and worship and love Jesus. Okay, next. We want to beg Our Lady for the very special Gabrielle, right? What's your name?
Aiden,
okay? Grace, okay. Grace. What is grace? I'm going to give you an acronym, you scholars here. Grace would be what? God's riches at Christ's expense, right? Like that? Good one, huh? Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace to live out our consecration. Consecration to Jesus and Mary. Through the presentation of Jesus to the Father in every Mass. Every begins with an E. U. C. H. Every Eucharist. Any of you know what the word Eucharist means? It comes from Greek. What does Eucharist mean?
Gift.
Nope.
Thanksgiving.
Okay. Okay. Eucharist means Thanksgiving. Every Eucharist and every Holy Communion. Do you know what communion means? It means union with. You go to Latin. Communion means union with. And it's holy. The most important thing we can do is receive Holy Communion with love. Number 4. It is our intention to enter more deeply into the sublime mystery of the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. It's kind of a repetition. But most especially by learning to offer ourselves. Offer ourselves to Jesus through the hands of Mary in every Mass. That we attend. You know, the time of Maria Goretti, they would receive communion about twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Do you know how often we can receive communion now in the year 2017? Any of you know? How many? Just once a week we can receive, just on Sunday, right? Actually, twice a day. If you go to two full masses, you could receive communion twice a day. So we should try to receive them with a lot of faith, fervor, and love. Not to receive them mechanically. Okay? Mechanically or in a routine fashion. Okay? But try to receive them with a lot of love every time. If you've ever been up to Alhambra where you have that convent of the Carmelite nuns, there's a plaque for the priest and it says, "Priest, man of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass, your last Mass, and your only Mass." Amen? Receive communion as if it were your first communion, last communion, and only Holy Communion. That should be our intention. Never to take them for granted. Okay, next. The greatest miracle. Any of you see the movie, The Greatest Miracle?
Yes.
How do you say it in Spanish? Did you like it? Claymation, right? Claymation. It's cool, isn't it? Okay, the greatest miracle in this movie that teaches us how to move from sadness to joy. The guardian angel brings three despairing. What does that mean? Despairing. Great, loss of hope. Well defined, yeah, loss of hope. Three despairing individuals into the church, into the celebration of Holy Mass. A key element of the Mass is the... Even before that. The Eucharistic liturgy has three parts. You study that in catechism? Three parts of the Eucharistic liturgy? There's one, two, three. The first would be the offertory. Offertory, you can put, or presentation. And the consecration, then communion, right? Okay. So offertory or presentation, like the fourth joyful mystery. The presentation of Jesus in the temple. The angel teaches them the importance of the Mass as the greatest, someone said, prayer. Greatest prayer in the world. Of all the prayers, the Mass and the Eucharist is the greatest of all prayers. As the greatest, you just said it, Darian, greatest miracle that happens every day on the altar. Then the angel proceeds to teach them the importance and the way to live out the offertory of the Mass. How very simple. Offer all that you are. All that you, Daniel, have. All that you desire. And place it on the altar. Better yet, what is that gold circular disc that the priest placed the host on? What's that called? It begins with a P. Paten, okay? Better yet, on the paten, you know how to spell that? Any good spellers here? Can you spell it right? Nope. Knock out a T. Okay, P-A-T-E-N, that's why it's spelled, paten. Paten in the Mass. Okay, the Lord Jesus was presented where? In the... Where? The temple. Through the hands of who? Mary. Likewise, we want to present our intentions in every mass through the hands of who? Mary. So you always want to go to Mass with Mary. Place all of you are, your desires, your intentions, your fears, your projects, in the hands of Mary. Then Mary places them on the altar, and you're going to receive billions of graces, many more graces. That's the key in making good communions, through the hands and the heart of Mary. Okay. Number 9. The more we ask and beg for with confidence, here's an example. Say, for example, you went to a multi-billionaire to have dinner. And this multi-billionaire said, whatever you want, I'm going to give you. You're thinking, I've got it. I want a piece of bubble gum. Okay? Yeah. That's dumb. Spanish is stupid, though. It's dumb. I would ask the guy, hey, give me $20 billion of your $25 billion. He said, thank you. I was thinking of giving you $24 billion. Okay, here's the $20 billion check. Who has more money, God or the multi-billionaire? Jesus and Mary are so powerful. We only receive a little bit because we only ask for a little bit. We ask for sometimes just little things, so we receive little things. We ask for the skies, we'll get the skies. We ask for the bubble gum, we'll maybe get the bubble gum. We should be asking for more. So ask to Jesus through Mary. You know, when I celebrate Mass, I'll often say, Lord, I pray that through this Mass, 10 million people will be saved through one of my Masses. Why not? You know what I hear in my soul is Jesus saying, ask for more. I can give you more than that. Okay, Lord. Okay, I'll ask for more. I can give you more than 10 million. Ask for more. Because the Mass has infinite value. We receive little because we ask for little. So let's start to beg for more. And God is going to give us more, but through Mary. Amen? So the more we ask and beg for with confidence, the more God will give us if we simply ask. What does it say? What's the word there below?
Trust.
Okay. We simply trust. And if we go through the most pure and efficacious channel, which is the... I'll give you the initials. There's a radio station here dedicated to IHM. What would that be? Immaculate Heart of Mary. Okay? Efficacious channel, which is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. 3 special intentions are very pleasing to who are your 2 best friends? Jesus and Mary, okay? We hope that Jesus and Mary are your best friends, always. 3 special intentions are very pleasing to Jesus and Mary. Placing in Mary's hands in the offertory. Placing Mary's hand in the offertory. 1, the poor, what? Souls in purgatory. What's purgatory? So you die with venial sin, right? With some venial sins that has to be washed away, purified by the fires of purgatory, right? So when people die, they go right to heaven always? A lot of people go to purgatory. We got to get them out. So the Mass and Mary's prayers is one of the best ways to get people out of purgatory and get them into heaven. Amen? Okay, purgatory, that they may go to heaven. They go from purgatory to heaven. Second, we want to be praying for poor sinners. For their, what happened to Saul on the road to Tarsus? What's that word? Ends with a C. O-N-V-E-R-S-I-O-N. Huh? Conversion, okay? Pray for their conversion. And did any of you ever read or see the movie in Fatima? What did Our Lady say? Many souls go to hell because nobody prays for them. And nobody offers up sacrifices for them. So your prayers and your sacrifice are going to save souls from going to hell. That's going to happen if you trust. If you trust. Your prayers, your sacrifices, your rosaries, your meditations. Sometimes you're kind of tired, you do your meditation anyway. If you don't feel like doing your meditation, do it anyway to get a, to save a soul from going to hell or get him out of purgatory. Amen, huh? Okay. Poor sinners for their conversion. And number three, our own are all of you already ready to be canonized saints? All of you are ready to be canonized saints, that we should already make holy cards of you and statues and start to make novenas to you? No. For our own conversion, we are, as they say, we're a work in progress, huh? We're a spiritual work in progress, no? By placing our struggles with sin. Our struggles with sin in the hands of Mary. So you're tempted to commit a sin, say the Hail Mary. Say a prayer to Mary, and Hail Mary will kick the devil back into hell. That's where it belongs, right? We're all tempted to commit bad things. Hey, say the Hail Mary, fervent prayer to Mary, and the devil's going to run away. The devil's afraid of the name of Mary. Okay, number 11. To C-O-N-S, to consecrate, good. To consecrate our whole selves to Jesus through Mary, one of the most powerful and, so I'm going to give you a college word today, okay? Did you ever hear the word efficacious? You know how to spell it? Efficacious. E-F-F-I-C-A-C-I-O-U-S. I'll repeat. E-F-F-I-C-A-C-I-O-U-S. Okay, powerful and efficacious means to carry this out and to arrive at a transformation of our lives. In other words, we really want to leave our sin and start to become holy. Don't forget, Maria Goretti was your age and even younger. You can become saints. All of you can become great saints if you go to Mary and you really live the Mass. That's the whole purpose of this class. If you love Mary, you pray to Mary, you talk to Mary, you trust Mary, you give yourselves to Mary, with the Mass, you can become great saints even though you're 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Teenagers can still become great saints. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. You can. You can become great saints. Okay, then We finish by saying, arrive at a transformation of our lives is through living out the two words, holy sacrifice of the Mass through the hands and the heart of Mary. You look at that picture. What do you see in that picture? Who's the man lifting up the chalice? It's a priest, right? Who's above the priest? Is there a picture there? Is there a picture there? Okay, you don't have a picture. Okay. Through the hands of Mary in the offertory. In the offertory. So, as I promised, we're all going to receive now a blessing from the relic of Saint Maria Goretti. This is a little bone of Maria Goretti, so that we will pray for purity, live out our consecration to Mary, love the Mass, and become saints as God is calling us to become saints. So we're going to stand now. We're going to say the Hail Mary. Then I'll give you the blessing. So stand up. So we're going to, and after that you'll go to your groups and you're going to have your sharing. You're going to be sharing for a couple of minutes on one of those meditations that you did this week that really seemed to touch you most. Okay? And all of your sharing is very important. The facilitators are really happy. Mary's very happy they're meditating, but she's even very happy where you're sharing the fruits of your meditation. So, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you through the intercession of Mary, St. Joseph, and St. Maria Goretti. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. May God bless you, and now you can go into your groups and do your sharing, and then we'll see you at 12 o'clock at the Mass.